You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're in 2 chapter 1 tonight. Thank you, fellows on the platform. I appreciate you men so very much. We're blessed to have a great staff here. You parents are going to see that in the school this year. It's not too late tonight to see our principal, Brother Fanera. He's somewhere here. He's down here about 4 or 5 rows back. You ought to talk to him tonight. If you don't have your kids at North Valley Baptist School, you've got to get them there. There's no option. It's a great place. And we begin on Thursday. So there's Brother Fanera right there. You can see him right afterwards. And that'll be great. I think, did we get all the parents in yet? Are they all coming around? Let's bow for prayer, shall we? Our Father, I thank you for a wonderful day. And now we're drawing to the close of this day. Thank you for Sunday school this morning. Thank you for the buses that ran, brought in boys and girls, men and women. Thank you for Sunday morning service, all the services, both properties. Thank you for the service being conducted over there at the other property tonight with the Spanish folks. And I pray your blessing now upon this service. Thank you for all the good music. You've warmed my hearts, thrilled our souls with good music tonight, great announcements. God, help us with these 2,500 commitments. I know we'll go way over. Help us all to do our part, and help us all to text in is my prayer. Bless this message is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a file before me tonight, and I'll pull the things out of the file. This file means quite a bit to me. I called Tabitha and Chris, my son-in-law and daughter, about maybe a year or two ago. I had waited for several years for this appointment, and I said, I want you to come in and give me about an hour of your time. I took my study and I took pictures of all the way it's all organized, commentaries and biographies and autobiographies and alphabetical and numerical, and I put it all, and I took pictures of them. And then I sat down with them and I said, I want to cover with you Mom and our last will and testament. I have that right here. It says the last will and testament of Jack and Cindy Treiber. I didn't realize it'd be such an emotional event. I guess they probably figured it out. I had to dismiss myself twice. I said, let me go back here to this back office. I'll be right back. And Terry, I went back there and I started weeping. To think about talking to my children about their dad's home going. I don't want to die. I want to live, and I want to live for the rapture. I hope that's the next event. But if the Lord tarries in his coming, and he may choose to do that, my wife's going to pass away, or I'll pass away first, and then if I go first, then she'll go. We have a will, and it says here that everything we have, it's dispersed, everything in life. And whose names are in this will, of course, our children's names are in there, but if anybody of the three children contest it, it says this in every will, every trust, every one of these things. If anybody contests it, you're out of the will. You can't call another lawyer and say, I want more. If you do, you're out. Amen. Amen. That's what any will and testament does. And this lays it all out. It's been sent to the county. The county has a copy of it. My lawyer has a copy of it. My wife has a copy of it, and I have a copy. It's in the safe at home. She said, I don't have one. What are you worth? I'm worth nothing. This book of 2 Timothy is Paul's last will and testament. He's writing a book, and in this book, there's only four chapters, and he gets to chapter four, and he said, the time of my departure is at hand. He's been arrested. He's in jail. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. I know they're coming to get me any day now. They're going to sever my head from my body. I know I'm coming to the end. And I believe if the Lord tarries, I've got many years left to pastor this church, but I know I've used up 50 years here already. I don't have 50 years. I don't have 40 years. I don't have 30 years. I don't have 20 years. But whatever time God gives me, I want to glorify His name. I want to be a good pastor to you. I want to love every single person here. Those that are difficult to love, those that are mean-spirited, I don't care what you are. I just want to love God's people. Paul's writing to his son in the faith. And as we read this today, we're going to read verses 1 through 12 together, 1 through 13 actually. And he writes many things to Timothy, his son in the faith. And as he writes to him, he says, these are some issues, but really it's the entire book. I just take these first 13 verses. Let's stand together one more time and let's read it together. Ready? Begin. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, Father, again, I pray your blessing upon this message in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul lived a long life. He's an old man as he's writing this text, but you don't get the feeling at all that he is acting old. I want to say something to our elderly people in this church. Don't ever act old. Don't ever sit around and talk about all your medicines. Don't ever sit around and talk about all your doctor's appointments. Don't even tell anybody when you have a doctor's appointment. Just go and get it over and done with. We're having this retirement luncheon, breakfast, and there's 52 or 55 of you signed up. We have about 75 in our church that are retired now. And I'm just excited. It won't be embarrassing to you, but I'm excited about meeting with you about the work of the ministry at this time of your life. But Paul's not writing like an old man. In fact, he writes to my son Timothy, and then he writes to my son Titus. I think you stay young as you keep yourself around young people. All these eight men that sit up here with me are all a lot younger than I am. They keep me young and youthful. I love being around them. The staff, we added 10 new staff members this year, and they're young and they're excited. They're vibrant. They keep me young. I don't want to act like an old man. I'm not going to act like I'm 15 years of age. Hey, dude, how you doing, man? Cool? Everything cool, baby? No, we're not going to talk like that. I'm not going to act like a weirdo. But I refuse to die out old. I refuse to. I want to be happy in the Lord on the winning side. Dr. Tom Wallace is my friend. He's a great preacher, and he's 95 years of age. He just fell and broke his, I believe, his hip. But he's preaching every Sunday everywhere across America. And he said, I'm the youngest. My two brothers are older than I, but I'm planning to go to 100. And that's where I got the idea. I'm going to go pastor this church till I'm 100, and then I'm going into full-time evangelism. I can hardly wait. It's going to be awesome. Driving around the country with my wife that's going to go with me, and she's going to go with me. I'll tell you that right now. I want to talk to you about Paul's last will and testament. Let's begin in verse 6. Verse 6, he tells this young man, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance." Here it is. "That thou stir up the gift of God, which has been by putting on the hands." Stir up means to rouse it, wake it up, make it alive, make it very exciting, shake it up. Do something with your life, Timothy. Accomplish something with your life. There is no problem if you're working in the secular world. Listen, we all can't be in the ministry. There has to be people that are working in the secular world, and God is using you. God's placed you there. I was talking to one of our men this morning, and God's placed him into the position where he met this week with probably one of the most, you know the name, one of the most powerful men in America, one of the richest men in America, one of the most renowned men in America, and he's going to be working with them for the next 2 months. I'm praying that that man in our church will be able to witness to that man who is wealthy, who has everything, who has access to the White House, who has access to you name it, but he does not know Jesus Christ. Stir up the gift. What gift did God give you? Stir it up. Keep it alive. Keep it alert. God gives you a bus route and it's not growing. Well, stir it up. Stir it up. God gives you a Sunday school class, the Lifeline Bible class celebrating 20 years. I remember the day you started that, Brother and Mrs. Martinez. 20 years. Oh, let's all stir it up. Let's all be there. Let's all, amen, amen. Let's stir up the bus ministry. Let's stir up the class. Let's stir up the choir. The choir has been so full all summer and again tonight. They just kept coming and coming and coming. That's where it ought to be. Stir it up. Stir up Bible reading. Stir up prayer, stir up soul winning, stir up fasting, stir it all up. And Paul writes to Timothy, this young fat man in the faith, and he said, I want you to stir up. I want you to do something with your life. That's why he was not a dying man. He was alive. You know, as long as you have something to do, you're alive. J.C. Penney said, man retires but never retire from, always retire to. You retire to something. Don't retire and just say, okay, now I'm going to sit at home. Now I'm going to rest. Get your coffin out because you're going to die. Dennis, I got your phone number. I'm calling our mortician, and you're going to come pick this person up because you just can't lay around the house all day. Stir it up! Secondly, he says, verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Secondly, be not afraid. Child of God, Brother Poussin remembers this very well. I got afraid during COVID as we were being sued by the county for meeting here in this place. And I got so afraid as I talked to their four lawyers and we talked with our lawyers. And there was a time I came to the end of myself. And I came to the point of utter, Brother Sly, you were there, utter fear. I don't want to be a pastor that lives out of fear. I don't know what, Brother Carl, I don't know what the future holds for me. But I refuse to have fear in my life. I refuse to let the mayor of Santa Clara or the mayor of San Jose or any mayor intimidate me. I'm a preacher of the gospel. I refuse to let Governor Newsom, and he passed so many things. I'd call Ro Khanna, our assemblyman. I said, I need you to get a hold of Gavin Newsom for me. And he said, I talked to Gavin about your church and about the situation. I said, you need to call again. He called me a few years ago during COVID, and he said, Pastor, I've never heard you down in your life. I've never heard you discouraged. But you said, our assemblyman, he said, our congressman, he said, you found sound so discouraged. I said, I am, Ro. I remember because I said, tomorrow's my birthday. I want you to call Gavin again and tell him to back off this church. And he said, Pastor, I just called him yesterday for you. I said, call him again. And you know, not only did he call him, but Gavin Newsom ranked it up and raised it up the bar. He didn't get it easier on us. He got it harder on us. I don't fear Gavin Newsom. I have zero fear of Gavin Newsom. I have zero fear of our mayor, of our assembly. I have zero fear of Ro Khanna. I thank God for all these politicians. I pray for them more than they pray for themselves. But I'm telling you this, I'm not going to govern my life, these days of my life, whatever part of my journey, I'm not governing my life out of fear. I have an insurrection and the deacons come and say, we want you out, and the church votes and you want me out. I'll tell you what, go ahead, vote me out. I'm buying the building across the street and starting North Valley Baptist Church of Santa Clara, California again. We'll see who needs the building space. I tell you what, I don't fear God's people. I don't fear man. I don't fear the unsaved. God has, because fear is not of God. Oh, what about my kids? They're not living for God. I don't fear that. My kids are going to live the way they want to live their lives. Thank God they're all living for God, all serving God. But that's their, my wife and I, we did our job. We brought them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They all saw the ministry. All three boys are preachers of the gospel. They saw the mom and dad, they're preachers. I'm done. I pray for them every day. Our grandkids are getting done with their life. They're getting on with adulthood now. Hey, I'll tell you what, if they turn out for God, I'm rejoicing. If they don't turn out for God, I'm praying. But I am not going to resign the ministry over someone else's failure. God's not giving us a spirit of fear. Why are you so afraid? Afraid, oh, I'm going to lose my job. Well, lose it and get a different one. And it'd probably be a better one. God has a way of doing that. He says, stir up the gift. Secondly, he said, I don't want you to have any fear. Thirdly, verse number 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed with me. Paul tells the Romans church in Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed with the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Who's the Gentile? Anyone who's not a Jew. A Gentile, the word Gentile means pagan. Those that know not Jesus. It means opposite of Jew. The Jew first, but God says to every Gentile, to every Italian, to every German, to every Hispanic, to every, you name it, what race, what color, what creed, what country, God said, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You teenagers, and I don't want to give our theme away or anything for youth conference, but Brother Luke is working so fervently, and you're going to hear from a lot of missionaries. You're going to hear from missionaries that are out in the field doing the work of God, knocking on doors and visiting people. I'm telling you, one missionary we have, and he might be watching right now. I've always been a little bit nervous about bringing Kevin Wynn back home. Kevin's given his whole life, 50 years, to Mexico. And his kids now, he's got a large family. They're all in the ministry. And Kevin will stare at you. It kind of spooks you out, you know, just he'll stare at you. But the touch of God, he's got a 7,500 seat auditorium. This is 3,000. He's got a 7,500 seat auditorium, and he fills it twice every Sunday morning. And they're coming, and he's got all these churches, and he's got them all going. And his monthly missionary, Brother Pusser will tell you this, he'll say, we had 258,000 people trust Jesus Christ as their Savior this month. We baptized 8,247 or whatever the number is. It's huge. Every month I can hardly wait to get the letter from them, because one month, it was an awful month. They had like 125,000 saved. Saved! Trusting God! But I tell you, that man's a man of God, and he roams those streets and knocks on doors and visits people and tells the good news. They have vacation Bible school. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of young people come, and they're all there eager, listening. And they fill the auditorium and move them out and bring another crowd in, and they fill it again. Children hearing the word of God. That man's made a difference with his life, because he's not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Don't ever be ashamed. That ashamed is found in verse number 12. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me has made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed us for his own. But I know whom I have believed. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm born again. Paul's writing as an old man, getting ready to have his head chopped off any day now. Any day, they're coming to sell. They're going to get him. They're going to throw him to the guillotine. They're going to take his head off. And any day, he's not bemoaning the fact I'm dying. He said, I want to go, but to leave and depart, and I want to stay, I don't know what's far better, but whatever God's will is, that's what I want in my life. And he said, stir up that gift. Stir it up. Today, bus workers, fall is coming. September, October, November, December, stirred up. And then don't be afraid. And then don't be ashamed. And then fourthly, I'll go quickly. Fourthly, verse number 9. Who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Don't be ashamed of the calling of God. What's God called you to do? Don't be ashamed of it. Don't make it sound like it's second rate. Everything that we're doing for God is first rate. And then number 5, I want you to see number 5. I believe I'll close with number 5. I have many more, but I believe I'll close. What's the first two words in verse 13? Verse 13, the first two words. Ready? Begin. Hold fast. Try it like independent, fundamental, temperamental Baptist. Ready? Hold fast. One more time, say it. Hold fast. The form of sound words. Hold fast means grab hold of it. Get hold of it. Get hold of Bible preaching and Bible teaching. Get a hold of singing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. Get a hold of Sunday school. Get a hold of Sunday morning. Amen. Get a hold of Sunday night. Get a hold of Wednesday night. Get a hold of these things this Wednesday night. We begin a new series for 7 weeks on the attributes of a good Christian. And you are good Christians. Be here, 6:30 this Wednesday night. Hold fast the things you've learned. He said, the things you have heard and learned of me. Paul said, I've taught you some things. Parents, I look at our class, our Sunday school class, honey, it's such a good class. We've got parents in there that they're trying to bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Jeremy, you just got baptized. You and your wife are doing so great. Your little kids came across tonight, a beautiful little girl. And I think of what these couples are doing. They're trying. They're trying to bring them to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You're trying to have prayer with your children at night when they go to bed at night. You try to tell them every day, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. You try to not argue with your wife and argue with your husband. You're doing great. But Paul said, hold fast those things. Hold fast. Get a hold of them. Get a hold of being a good husband. A good husband. Get a hold of that. A husband that leads his wife in righteousness. That the husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. Lead your wife. Guide your wife. Pray for your wife. Encourage your wife. Support your wife. Help your wife. But God says, hold fast that thing. And then, ladies, hold fast. Submit to your husband. Submit to him. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. You build him into a great man of God. I'm so blessed. It'll be 53 years in December that we've been married. Mrs. Treber, you talk about North Valley Baptist Church. This church is here because of her. She supported me. She guided me. She lifted my hands. She let me lead this church. She let me guide this church. And she encouraged me along the way. And I can say, hold fast those things. This file means so very much to me. Everything in here. I've got it all written down. I've got a home-going file in here also. I told Tabitha, here's my bank account number. Here's my PIN number. Here's my credit card. I have a credit card. Here's the credit card number. Here's how you stop Social Security. Here's how you, that you don't take an extra month. You can't take an extra month. Here's how you take care of all these things. It's all right here. Here's how you clear out my office for the next pastor. Here's how you take care of mom in event that I go first. Here's what I want to have happen with her. Here's what happens if mom goes first and I go last. Here's what I'm going to take care of, and I'm going to get it all organized for you. Because this is my last will and testament. This is Paul's last will and testament to a boy that he led to Christ. Our Father, I thank you for our church. Lord, I didn't have to preach long tonight. I think your people get the idea. Life is so short. Life is but a vapor that appears for a moment, vanished away. I pray, dear God, that tonight you would speak to your people. God, do a great work in their midst tonight. I pray that, God, we'd see great things happen for the cause of Christ.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.